Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Greetings, fans of the esoteric, and welcome to
Legend Presents.
It's that time again where we get to showcase the work of one of our favorite horror buddies. Today we're playing an episode from another podcast anthology with the excellent title, Ramon Fears Terror Tapes. Bernard, tell them about it.
Yes, so Ramon Fears Terror Tapes is a new and original horror comedy anthology podcast. It's like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place meets Tales from the Crypt, and it aims to lovingly parody old horror with modern twists.
Well, that's right up our street.
I mean, it is, isn't it? It features an original story each episode and a completely original score, lovingly tailored to the style and genre of the main story.
I mean, they're sounding like our soulmates.
They really are.
We should invite them to the next key party.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. So if you're listening, Ramon, you're invited.
Don't forget to bring a Tupperware. Because it's a hybrid, you see. Key party, Tupperware.
Yes.
Just everything, really.
Covers all bases. And this episode features the wonderful Beth Eyre, who you will remember from Wooden Overcoats, but also Ghosted on this very podcast feed.
We love Beth Eyre.
Oh, she's wonderful. Definitely haunted. And if you listen very carefully to some of the other episodes of Ramon Fears Terror Tapes, you might even spot a few familiar voices from the other show, Mockery Manor.
Mockery Manor, that's the other Long Cat Media
Yes, we
production.
Are closely affiliated with the chaps at Mockery Manor.
We're sort of advertising Ramon Fears Terror Tapes and ourselves at the same time here, aren't we?
Well, that's just efficient.
Yes.
Everybody wins. You can listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts and find out more by going to their website, ramonfear.com. That's ramonfear.com.
And now, presenting episode one, Fish Food.
House of Fear presents Ramon Fear's Terror Tapes. Tonight's episode, Fish Food.
Greetings, my friends. Welcome to another gruesome tale to shock your ears and turn your stomach. I am your ravenous raconteur, your wrathful raconteur, Raconteurus Rex. Ramon Fear. They say a dog has no morals, but what about fish? The dead-eyed nightmares of the ocean. The speedy cutlery of the current. Are fish liars? I guess we've got too deep, too quickly. Let's reel this in. What do they know that we don't? What can they see that we can't? Why do we eat their eyes and fry their skin? Aquariums, the strange ways of the sea. No fish can get out. But could someone get in? Consider, if you will, a new start, a fresh face, an unquenchable thirst for blood. As the Spanish would say, Un bottella d'acqua, por favor.
I'd always been fascinated by the ocean, the sea, and all that inhabits it. Watching fish swimming could be seen as mundane, and yet there is something so serene and tantalizing about it. Their movement, the dance they put on for you, it's hypnotic. And their eyes, those black eddies, draw you in, vacant yet inviting. It was my first day at Fulci Aquarium. I used to come to this place all the time as a child. You were welcomed by a blue neon sign which had a tiny tuna dotting the eye in aquarium. Nice touch. The fish had always been my friends. And today, they had become my colleagues. I arrived that morning and collected my uniform before making my way into what my parents and I had dubbed the inner sanctum. Let's just say I had more than just first day nerves.
Now, Jennifer, you don't want to get too close to some of these. That fish will kill you, that fish will kill you, that fish won't kill you, but it will excrete a poison that will kill you. That fish doesn't look like it'll kill you, but word to the wise, it will kill you.
That was Hank, the senior manager. He was very straight, by which I mean he was matter-of-fact. I didn't know his sexual orientation, and it didn't feel my place to pry into his personal preferences on the first day.
If you're not careful, they'll get you. That's what happened to Jones.
Jones?
Previous manager went missing. I'm certain the fish got him, though. Just look at them. Quiet killers.
But they're all so beautiful.
Beauty's only skin deep, Jennifer. Remember that.
Everyone at the aquarium kept themselves to themselves. And anything they did say was almost cryptic, like...
You never know when someone's going to murder you here.
They all gave off a strange, eerie vibe. All except Carla, who I was working with by the shark tank.
I see you understand fish.
How cool was she to make that the first thing she would say to me rather than a simple hi or hello?
Very few do. Feeding time.
She took out a bag of meat scraps and threw them to the hungry beasts. They snapped it up like it was chocolate, which it wasn't.
Can't get enough of it.
Carla had looked after the shark tank for the best part of 2 years. She had a personality as bright and bubbly as the clownfish tank. She was a stunning Amazonian woman with long, dark, curly locks that could have given the octopus legs a run for their money. And she knew a lot about fish.
Did you know there are more species of fish than mammals, birds, reptiles, and amphibians put together?
No. Wow. I heard that fish only have a 3-second memory.
See, that's a common misconception. Fish's memories are much longer. They can remember up to something like 5 months.
Really?
Yeah. Just imagine the things these guys have seen.
Oh, yeah. Imagine.
By the way, don't mind the others. They're not the most sociable creatures. I'll look after you.
Thanks, Carla. I thanked Carla just then and turned back to watch the octopus tank in front of me. Immediately, I was absorbed by the 8-legged enigma flailing in its habitat. My eyes moved in time with its inky and unpredictable body. I felt like it was trying to communicate with me across a pane glass language barrier.
Have a wonder, Jennifer. Explore. Trust me, makes the hours go quicker.
Thanks. I will do. I watched the sea life rushing past all around me. It was like being in the midst of traffic in an underwater metropolis. And right now, this was rush hour. I was surrounded by vibrant textures and colors of sea greens and cerulean blues and spotlights bouncing off the panels. This is why I like aquariums. The calm, the tranquility, the...
The blue eye! white fish!
Blue-eyed fish.
Less than 2 hours into my shift, and a body had come hurtling down from above. There was a deafening crunch. The young girl lay there, coated in her own crimson jus. This was the moment I knew. Something was wrong. I ran over to the girl, who had the name Dot written on her tag. I didn't know if that was her name or whether she had perhaps had to borrow someone else's, and I didn't want my last words to be getting her name wrong, nor would I imagine she'd have wanted her last words to be correcting me.
What the hell happened here?
She's dead!
Probably one of the fish. God damn it!
I knew this couldn't have been a fish. Then again, she did scream, "The blue-eyed fish," right before she died. Suddenly, Carla appeared. She was distraught.
Dot? Oh my god, Dot.
So her name was Dot.
Dot, can you hear me? Oh, Jesus.
Okay, everybody stand back. Emergency services are on their way. The aquarium is closed until further notice.
Oh, what?
For God's sake.
I swear this happens every week.
I think she was murdered, Hank.
Jennifer, the police can take it from here. If I were you, I'd go home and write off today.
But, Hank...
Jennifer, I strongly suggest you leave this alone. We'll reconvene tomorrow and you can start again.
I went back to my post to say goodbye to the sharks, one of whom, as a child, I named Sharky. I wasn't a very imaginative child.
Do you really think Dot was murdered?
I don't know, Carla. She could have fallen... But I thought I saw another figure up there with her. But then why would she scream, "The blue-eyed fish"? What does that mean?
I wish I knew, Jennifer.
I asked Carla if she and Dot were friends. Were you and Dot friends? And she said,
"Yeah. We started around the same time. She operates around the jellyfish house. She was the one person who kept me sane here."
And then I said, "Do you think anyone here could have done it?"
"No. These people are weird, but they're not psychos."
"Well, I'd better go. Take care. I'll see you tomorrow."
"Okay. I'm so sorry you had to see this on your first day."
I left Carla and walked upstairs to get changed. Along the way, I passed the other employees. They all looked incredibly suspicious. Even Hank, who was desperately trying to sweep this under the carpet. Metaphorically speaking, the aquarium had linoleum. Something about this seemed odd. Dare I say, fishy. I wouldn't find out anything in broad daylight with everyone still here. I knew if I wanted to investigate this further, on my own, I would have to wait until everyone had closed up and gone home for the night. Where could I hide without being noticed? Nighttime came and everyone had gone home. No one had even come up to see if I was still here. My hiding space was only crouching behind some lockers. They would have found me in seconds. In hindsight, it wasn't a hiding place at all. Regardless, I crept out and downstairs into the center of the aquarium. All was quiet except for the fish still swimming and meandering around their homes. This city never sleeps. I stopped at the spot where Dot had dropped from the top. The blues and greens interspersed with deep red, which could have turned the whole place a sort of yellowish white? Is that the color you get? I don't... Blood, basically. Murdered in cold blood. She died. I continued to pace around the underwater palace with those words still ringing in my ears. The blue-eyed fish... I searched around for a blue-eyed fish. That was the clue that was going to lead me to whatever it was I was searching for. I looked high and low, but could not see any sign of a blue-eyed fish. It was then I realized I was actually saying all this out loud. I missed a step and took a tumble. Talk about fumbling in the dark. Everywhere was pretty much shrouded in nightfall. The only beacon of light from the room was the neon sign. I stared up at it, the cute little blue fish perched happily above the letter I. And that's when it hit me.
The blue eye! The blue-eyed fish!
That was it! The sign! The fish! The blue-eyed fish! She was sending us a message. Though why she couldn't have just screamed, "The fish on the neon sign," is anybody's guess. I reached out to touch the sign. My hand gripped round the fish dotting the eye, and I turned it to the left. The fish glided with my palm, and suddenly, a door below, hidden within the sign, opened. I peered inside, and all I could see was a long, dark, and dank passage. I decided to call hello, because that seemed like the most sensible thing to do. Hello? This was wild. I had stumbled across a hidden cave, an inner sanctum within the inner sanctum. It was dark and echoey, and I could hear my own footsteps like they were being played back to me at full blast via an HDTV with speakers. I reached the end of the walkway and found myself in a dank and dirty room. In the corner stood a freezer? So many questions ran through my head. Who did this? How did they manage to do this without anyone noticing? Why was there a room behind the sign in the first place? How did they manage to move and install a working freezer? This scenario posed so many plot holes I knew we would conveniently not have time to fill. I walked over to the freezer and slowly lifted the lid. And what I saw shook me to my very core. Beneath the ice lay a frozen mound. I couldn't make it out, the shape or form of it. I reached in, pulled it over to me, and that's when the eyes stared back at me. The eyes of a man kept in his ice-cold sarcophagus. A man, but only half a man, only portions of a man. One arm was missing, and the other at the end of the freezer. Parts of his legs severed and skinned, chunks of flesh cut clean out of his stomach. The only thing that remained intact was the head with its dead eyes that stared right through me. I stood there, frozen in abject terror. I could barely bring myself to move. I tried to scream, but no sound would escape my mouth. I was paralyzed by fear. Stiff as a board, unable to move. I was like a statue.
You should have gone home, Jennifer.
Carla was poised at the end of the passage. She was walking slowly towards me, holding an ice pick in one hand and a fish knife in the other. The bubbliness had disappeared. She wore a vicious, knowing smile, and also an apron that read, "I've got crabs," with a picture of two happy crabs underneath it. Why was there a novelty apron in the aquarium? This was the moment I knew something was wrong.
Just couldn't leave it alone, could you?
Carla, what are you doing? Who is that?
Oh, I see you've already met Jones.
Jones?
No one fires me from Fulci's. I came back that night and... well, let's just say only one of us left with a pretty big severance package.
Although I was pretty terrified, I could still appreciate her witty remark.
I had to store the body somewhere. Couldn't just throw him to the sharks. Well, not in one piece anyway.
Feeding time.
Nobody knows about this little hideout. Not even Hank. Although, Dot soon discovered it.
So you killed her? But she was your friend.
Was I that convincing? I'm flattered.
But why, Carla?
It's like I told you, Jennifer. We understand fish. We're not so different, you and I. Yes, I may be a psychopathic murderer, and you just a lowly aquarium employee with an overlong inner monologue.
Without a moment's hesitation, I picked up Jones's frozen arm and struck Carla across her face with it. She went down, and that's when I saw an opportunity to run. But Carla grabbed my leg, her face dripping with blood.
Get back here, you bitch! Jennifer!
I kept running, but I didn't know where I was going. Every glass tank reflected the horror I was experiencing. I was still holding the arm, which was slowly starting to defrost. I ran across a ramp above the shark tank. Carla was waiting for me on the other side.
Feeding time.
Carla had opened the top of the shark tank and was hell-bent on sending me down into my watery grave to be devoured by Sharky and the other one I never thought to name. Baby Sharky? No. Anyway.
You've always been close to the fishes, haven't you, Jennifer? Unfortunately, you're about to become even more intimate with them because you're going to be sleeping with them.
I did get the implication. She didn't need to spell it out. Carla leaned over me, her face still oozing blood and her skin turning an arctic white, staring at me with her murderous eyes. With the swing of the arm in my hand, I plunged the cold dead fingers into her wound. And that was my moment. It was seconds before the crystal blue shade of the aqua had dissolved into a bright red liquid. I hobbled down the stairs, battered, bruised, bleeding, beaten, in other words beginning with B. As I reached the bottom, bludgeoned. As I reached the bottom of the stairs, I saw that we had not been alone.
Jennifer, I saw what you did.
What?
You killed Carla. You threw her from above, just like you did with Dot.
No! Hank, you don't understand.
And whose arm is that? Is that frozen? Oh my God, you're sick. I'm calling the police right now.
Hank, no! Listen to me!
I'll make sure you never set foot in an aquarium again.
Hank. Someone once told me that something someone once told me was a common misconception. Fish do not have a short-term memory. I think it's us, humans, who are the ones that are so quick to forget. In those few seconds, it appeared I had forgotten entirely my reason for solving this murder mystery in the first place. Okay, thanks very much for coming.
Jennifer? Shark's gonna eat. You good to take care of it?
No problem. I'll be right back. When I gaze at the fish in the inner sanctum, the same words still ring in my ears.
Just imagine the things they've seen.
Feeding time, Hank. Yeah. Imagine.
I guess water is thicker than blood. And do you know what I like after a good scare? A long soak in a frosty bathtub.
Why, Ramon, what a coincidence. Because we have a new type of bath right here.
Really? That's amazing!
The Bath of Dreams! But don't take my word for it. Let's ask our contractually obliged friends at Languages.
Hello, old-timer. You look dirty. Time for a bath, wouldn't you say?
What are you doing in my house?
That's right. We've just installed our new walk-in bath for free.
Where's my watch?
Time for a bath, Mr. Stinky.
But how did you get into my house?
It's bath time.
Since the accident, I sometimes struggle to get out of bed.
Your knees will thank you.
Please, I don't want a bath. I don't want one.
Don't make me ask you twice. We installed it for free.
Get away from me. No, no, thank you. No.
Languages walk-in baths. A step forward into bathing technology.
When nothing else can fill the void,
Choose languages.
I'm never getting out.
That's bound to make a splash, wouldn't you say, Lauren?
I wouldn't know about that, Ramon.
Play the game. Well, that's all we've got time for this week, but I'll leave you with this. Without a face, is your brother still your brother? Good night. And when you hear the darkness, don't scream.
Coming soon from House of Fear Pictures.
Going out. It's raining. You might want to take an umbrella.
Darling, off for a walk in the rain with my umbrella.
Then again, you might not. Umbrellas. Umbrellas.
What's happening?
Think they'll protect you from the rain? Think again.
They're coming alive.
Umbrellas.
Don't open it.
It's raining. It's pouring. The old man is dead.
Look off!
There's a whole army of them!
This time...
No.
They'll turn you inside out.
Watch out for the parasols!
Umbrellas.
My God.
Umbrellas. Opening in theatres. Which is bad luck.
You have been listening to Ramon Fear's Terror Tapes. Obituaries for the following cast members: Sam Thomas, Lexi McDougal, Beth Eyre, Paul Albera, Alex Lynch. All eulogies created and scribed by Alex Lynch and Sam Thomas. Music and organ grinding by Odin Orn Hilmarsson. Production and post-mortem assembly handled with care by Alex Lynch and Odin Orn Hilmarsson. With Odin Orn Hilmarsson conducting the final service. And the funeral director, Alexandra Morris. This has been a House of Fear production. Like, rate, and subscribe, if you dare.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
What's this all about?
What about nightmares?
We need to leave.
What are you doing?
They can't tear out your soul anymore, Stuart.
Ominous Thrill, a new audio fiction anthology.
I've done horrible things.
Tell them what you did.
I didn't do anything.
To me.
No!
Character-driven tales of obsession.
I'm no psycho.
Banging on my door and streaming it on the internet.
Revenge.
Don't mind if I sit here and watch lights go out, do you?
The unexplained.
Don't leave me out here.
We can't help her.
I have a daughter.
We're leaving. No.
I need the light. You want me to fall down the stairs?
No. I want to push you.
I love you so fucking much.
Ominous Thrill. Available now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere.
Flesh splits open. Oh, yes.
Thrill you later.